Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, December 31st, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 6. We're back in Romans chapter 6. Randy, want to know, when are you going to finish Romans? And the answer is, after the rapture in heaven, I'll do it then. The way things are going, I probably won't even finish Romans 6 before the rapture. So. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the greatest miracle that this world will ever know, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, the gift that you gave to us, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, sir, that you love the world so much, you gave your uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping in the Word. We ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The greatest miracle the world will ever know occurred on that very first Christmas. On that very first Christmas, the eternal Son of God left heaven and took on true humanity. He was born on that first Christmas, and his mission was to go to a cross. He was born to die. He was born to go to a cross, and on that cross, all the sins of the world were gathered up and poured out on him, and he paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. And because he did that, the whole world has a hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin, anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ receives the gift of eternal life. And you will live forever with the living and true God in heaven. So this is certainly it's a great time of the year. And I pray that in this time of the year, that God would open the hearts of people all over the world to see the grace gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. that people all over the world might come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Well, we are in Romans chapter 6, and let's start the corrected translation at verse 15. Romans 6, verse 15. Therefore, what are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we are not under the Mosaic law, but under grace? Meganoita, that's the Greek. Emphatically not, or that is totally unthinkable. Verse 16. Do you not know that that one to whom you paristemi, remember the word to paristemi? A military word, to put yourself under orders, under authority. Do you not know that that one to whom you place yourselves under orders and under authority as slaves for the purpose of obedience, you are slaves to that one whom you habitually obey. Either the sin nature resulting in death, the sin unto death, or the Lord Jesus Christ resulting in grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity. Verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of the sin nature when you were unbelievers, but you are no longer. Rather, you have wholeheartedly obeyed that Christian truth, in which system of doctrine, Christian truth, you were instructed. And of course, they were instructed through the Apostle Paul. Verse 15. And having been set free from the sin nature, you became enslaved to righteousness, God's righteousness. Verse 19. I am speaking in human terms, I'm using a human illustration, because of the weakness of your flesh, the sin nature. For just as you have put your members under orders in slavery to every category of immorality and lawlessness resulting in further lawlessness, so now as a believer, put your members under orders in slavery to righteousness, God's righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Well, that brings us to verse 20, and verse 20 starts out in the King James and says, for when ye were the servants of sin, this is the postpositive conjunction gar with the temporal particle hotep, plus the imperfect active subjunctive of ami, plus the nominative plural of doulos, plus the genitive singular of hamartia with the definite article. Start out with the postpositive conjunction gar, which looks like this in the Greek, G-A-R, gar. It's an explanatory gar, correctly translated for. And then we have a temporal particle, hotep. Not very common, but we have it, H-O-T-E, hotep. It's a temporal particle that is used as a conjunction, and it may be translated when or while or as long as, and we're going to translate it as long as. And then we have the Greek to be verb eimi, imperfect active subjunctive. You translate it, you were, and the imperfect tense is linear action start in past time. That is, what is that past time? From your physical birth all the way up to the point of salvation, faith in Christ. You see, we come into the world physically alive, but spiritually dead. Every member of the human race is born physically alive, but spiritually dead. And we are in that status of spiritual death all the way up to the point that we place our faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. So that's what we have here in the linear action start in past time. From physical birth to salvation, faith in Christ. That period of time, when you were an unbeliever. And as an unbeliever, you are in spiritual death. And as an unbeliever, you're a slave. But you're a slave, the word here is doulos, you're a dooley. D-O-U-L-O-S, that's the Greek word for slave. You are a slave, and then we have to what? You're a slave to, and then we have the word hamartia. That's the Greek word for sin, H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. But when it's in the plural, it's looking at your personal sin you commit, but when it's in the singular, which it is here, then it refers to the sin nature. So what this says is, for as long as you were slaves to the sin nature, that is, as long as you were an unbeliever from physical birth up until salvation, or if you place your faith in Christ, for as long as you were slaves to the sin nature, that is, unbelievers in the status of spiritual death, and then we have in the King James, it says you were free from righteousness. This is once again the imperfect of the verb eimi plus a nominative plural of eleutheros plus the dative singular of dikaiosune with the definite article. Once again, imperfect of eimi, you were. And here's the principle. Get this principle down. As long as you were slaves to the sin nature, your life as an unbeliever, as long as you were slave to the sin nature, your life as an unbeliever, you were not under the control, you were excluded from slavery to the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. As long as you were slaves to the sin nature, your life as an unbeliever, you were free from. That's our word eleutheros. But that word eleutheros, let's get that up here. Looks like that in the Greek, E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-O-S. Eleutheros, it does mean free from. It means independent of. It means not bound by. It means not under the control of, not slaves to, or excluded from. So, again, the principle is, as long as you were slaves to the sin nature, that is, as long as you were an unbeliever from physical birth, and your life as an unbeliever, you were eleutheros. You were free from, you were independent of, you were not bound by, you were not under the control of, you were not slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And the word, and all throughout Romans, this is the key word in the book of Romans, dikaiosune. D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N, long E, dikaiosune, righteousness. And this is God's righteousness. This is the righteousness of God. God is absolute righteousness. God is infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinite holiness, infinite honor. So dikaiosune, righteousness. So again, the corrected translation, for as long as you were slaves to the sin nature, that is an unbeliever, you were not under the control of, you were not slaves to God's righteousness. For as long as you were slaves to the sin nature, that is you were an unbeliever, you were not under the control of, you were not slaves to the righteousness of God. One, slavery to the sin nature and slavery to righteousness are mutually exclusive. Slavery to the sin nature and slavery to righteousness are mutually exclusive. In our chapter, Romans 6:18, and have been set free from the sin nature. Having been set free from the sin nature, you became enslaved to righteousness, the righteousness of God. That's verse 18. And then verse 20, for as long as you were slaves to the sin nature, you, that is an unbeliever, you were not under the control of, you were not slave to righteousness, the righteousness of God. So slavery to the sin nature and slavery to the righteousness of God are mutually exclusive. Romans 6:18, Romans 6:20. Two, as unbelievers, we were all slaves to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. As unbelievers, we were all slaves to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. Three, from physical birth to salvation, salvation, that moment of faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, from physical birth to salvation, faith in Christ, you were all slaves to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. From physical birth to salvation, faith in Christ, you were all slaves to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. For, therefore, as unbelievers, we were excluded from all the benefits and all the blessings of being enslaved to God's righteousness. Therefore, as unbelievers, we were excluded, eleutheros, excluded from all the benefits and all the blessings being enslaved to the righteousness of God. Five. This means, as an unbeliever, we had no grace pipeline. Here's the cross, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world. Your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world, and poured them out on Christ on the cross. And then God the Father judged our sins in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin. And therefore, at the moment, anyone, any place, anywhere, simply comes and places his faith in Jesus Christ, then the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God. The justice of God on one end and the righteousness of God in you on the other end. And that established a grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline comes blessing, 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 blessing. God sends that blessing from his justice to his imputed righteousness in you. And so at that simple moment, you hear the grace gospel, you hear that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all of your sins once and for all. And in a moment of time, you simply believe in Jesus Christ, that he paid the penalty for your sins on the cross. And at that instant, God gives you his righteousness. And right then at that moment, he blesses you with 40 salvation blessings immediately. You don't even realize it. But you have 40 fantastic salvation blessings given to you at that moment of faith in Christ. And then, every single day of your life, from that point on, every day, God sends down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing and support, and that is temporal security. Temporal security, logistical grace, blessing and support that keeps you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you can grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that you can advance from a spiritual baby all the way to a spiritual maturity, so that you can have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You have this fantastic temporal security, logistical grace, blessing, and support. And when you reach spiritual maturity, now coming down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessing in time, greater grace blessing for all eternity. Blessing, 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 benefit, benefit, benefit from the justice of God to imputed righteousness in you. So therefore, point four was, therefore as unbelievers, we were excluded from all the benefits and blessings. What are all those benefits and blessings? 40 salvation blessings given in immediately. Logistical grace, blessing and support given every day of your life to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so you can make good decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to reach spiritual maturity. And when you do, here comes phenomenal greater grace blessings down to you in time and for all eternity. So again, point four, therefore as unbelievers, we were excluded from all the benefits and all the blessings being enslaved to the righteousness of God. Point five, this means as an unbeliever, we had no grace pipeline. There was no grace pipeline. We had no imputed righteousness of God. Six, this means as unbelievers, we had no union with Jesus Christ. No sharing the righteousness of Jesus Christ as the royal family of God. This means as an unbeliever, we had no union with Christ, no sharing the righteousness of Jesus Christ as royal family of God. Seven, as an unbeliever, we did not have the great blessing of having the Lord Jesus Christ as the authority of our life. As an unbeliever, we did not have the great blessing of having the Lord Jesus Christ as the authority of our life. Eight. However, as royal family of God, as believers in Jesus Christ, in the church age, we have a double portion of righteousness. A double portion of righteousness. We have the imputed righteousness from God the Father, justification by faith, All believers in human history have this righteousness. That's the grace pipeline. But we also share the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as the result of the baptism of the Spirit and being in union with Jesus Christ. And this is unique to us, church age saints, royal family of God in the church age. So, however, as royal family of God, we have a double portion of the righteousness of God. 9, the unbeliever is excluded from the righteousness of God. And therefore excluded from all the blessings and all the benefits that are there for the believer in Jesus Christ. The unbeliever is excluded from the righteousness of God and all of its blessings and all of its benefits. 10, after salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is the authority of the believer's life. And it doesn't get any better than that. That's the best of the best. After salvation, now the Lord Jesus Christ is the authority of the believer's life. Now we as believers have the opportunity to place our members under orders to righteousness, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we as believers have the opportunity to place our members under orders to righteousness, to the Lord Jesus Christ as our authority. So verse 20, for as long as you were to the sin nature, that is, as an unbeliever, you were not under the control of, you were not slaves to the righteousness of God. Now he goes on, verse 21, and the King James says, what fruit had ye then in those things of which ye are now ashamed. Whew. I tell you, that's the thundering diction of the King James. I don't know what the hell he's trying to say there. What fruit had ye then in those things of which ye are now ashamed? All right, well, we have the postpositive conjunction un with the interrogative pronoun tis plus the accusative singular of karpos with the imperfect of the verb echo plus the adverb tote plus the prepositional phrase epi, plus the dative plural of the relative pronoun hos, plus the present passive indicative of epi skunomai with the adverb noun. Well, we start out with the postpositive conjunction un. We'll get this. We get this all straightened out. This is fantastic. Thing that's great about verse 21, it follows verse 20. Un is an inferential un, correctly translated therefore. And then we have the interrogative pronoun tis that asks the question. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Tis. It asks the question, what? Therefore, what? And then we have the word karpos. K-A-R-P-O-S, karpos. And karpos literally means fruit or production. But here it's used figuratively. And figuratively, karpos can mean result, advantage, gain, benefit. And that's how we're going to translate it. That's benefit. Figuratively, it means result, advantage, gain, benefit. And then we have the verb echo. E-C-H, long O, echo. So let's get a few points on this verb echo. First of all, literally it means to have and to hold, or to possess. To have and to hold, or to possess. Now, however, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon on page 333, says that when echo, the verb echo, our verb, is used with the noun karpos, as it is in our verse, then it has a special meaning. Point two, it should be translated advantages, benefits, or comforts which one enjoys. It is used of advantages, benefits, comforts which one enjoys. Well, that's exactly what we have here. Three, therefore, this should be correctly translated. Therefore, what advantages and benefits were you enjoying? Should be correctly translated. Therefore, what advantages and benefits were you enjoying? And then we have the correlative adverb of time, tota. And it looks like that in the Greek and in the English, tota. And tota should be, is correctly translated, at that time. At that time. That is why you were an unbeliever. So therefore, what advantages and benefits were you enjoying at that time when you were an unbeliever? So at that time refers to the time from physical birth to salvation. Well, all that time that you are an unbeliever. It refers to that time when you were an unbeliever. It refers to that time when you were enslaved to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. Romans 6:20. So verse 21 then says, therefore, what advantages and benefits were you enjoying at that time when you were an unbeliever, when you were enslaved to the sin nature as the ruler of human life? And then we have the preposition epi plus the dative plural, the relative pronoun hos. Epi plus hos, epi, and this is hos. Arndt and Gingrich on page 287 says that in our verse, this should be correctly translated, because of which things. Because of which things. And then we have the verb episkunomai, modified by the adverb noun. Episkunomai looks like that in the Greek. That's episkunomai. Good thing we got a new big board up here, because I never get that on there otherwise. Episkunomai, and it's modified by the adverb noon. It looks like that. That's N-U-N. That's noon. And noon means now. Now, episkunomai, very important word. One, it means to be ashamed. It means to be ashamed. T, Two, this is a present mental attitude about past events. This is a present mental attitude about past events. Now that you have believed in Jesus Christ, now that you have placed your faith in Christ, that on the cross He paid the penalty for your sins once and for all, now that you have believed in Christ and are now royal family of God, in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, now that you are a slave to the righteousness of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, now you look back at your life as an unbeliever. Now you look back at your life as an unbeliever. And all you did by the lust patterns of the sin nature, and you are ashamed. Now you look back at your life as an unbeliever, and all you did by the lust patterns of the sin nature, and you are ashamed. Episkunomai. So the corrected translation says, therefore, what advantages and benefits were you enjoying at that time, at when you were an unbeliever, enslaved to the sin nature, because of which things you are now ashamed? Therefore, what advantages and benefits were you enjoying at that time when you were an unbeliever, enslaved to the sin nature, because of which things you are now ashamed? And this question demands the answer, no advantages. There are no advantages. There are no benefits at all. And then the reason, why are there no advantages and no benefits at all? For the end of those things is death. This is the postpositive conjunction gar, plus the nominative singular of telos with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the demonstrative pronoun akenos, plus the nominative singular of thanatos. Once again, the postpositive conjunction gar, but this time it's an explanatory gar. And as an explanatory gar is translated for, and then we have telos. T-E-L-O-S. Telos. A couple of things on this word, telos. It means end. It means termination. It means cessation. End, termination, cessation. Point two, it may also mean conclusion, the conclusion or the last part. Three, it may also mean the end or goal toward which something is being directed. It may also mean the end or goal toward which something is being directed, and therefore, outcome. And Arnton Gingrich, page 819, says, in our verse it should be translated, the outcome. Four, it means the final goal to which man is heading as an unbeliever. It means the final goal toward which man is heading as an unbeliever. And what is the goal that the unbeliever is heading for? Well, it's word here, thanatos. T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S. Death. Death. And in our verse, it refers to spiritual death in time parlayed into the second death in eternity. So point four, telos means the final goal to which man is heading. Five, it means the outcome or the destiny that awaits them, the unbeliever, in accordance with their own decisions to reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now our God is a God of grace. God the Father designed Operation Grace the Cross. And Operation Grace the Cross involved His eternal Son leaving heaven, humbling Himself and taking on true humanity. Why? He was born to go to a cross to die. And on that cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, your sins, my sins, poured them out on Christ, and then He judged them in Jesus Christ once and for all. Why? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would like to see every single member of the human race believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and so He can impute to you His righteousness, so He can give you the gift of eternal life, so you can live with Him forever and ever in heaven. That's what God would love to see. But you all have a free will. You have a free will to believe in Christ or not to. You have a free will to accept the grace of God. So here is God holding out a gift to the whole world. See, we're in Christmas time. Gifts. You got all your gifts. Fantastic gifts. Sometimes they're not fantastic gifts. But this gift is fantastic. And God holds it out to the whole world. But every single member of the human race has a free will. And from that free will, they can make the good decision to believe in Jesus Christ and accept the gift of eternal life. They also have a free will to say no and reject the gift. And then what they have really done is slap that gift out of Jesus Christ's hand and said, I don't want it. And they will spend eternity under condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. The second death. Their spiritual death will be parlayed into the second death. And the second death is the lake of fire. Condemnation and judgment forever and ever and ever and ever. Because of their own free will decision to say no to the grace of God. So point five, it means the outcome or destiny that awaits them in accordance with their own decisions. And then we have the demonstrative pronoun ekenos. E-K-E-I-N-O-S. Ekenos. This is the far demonstrative pronoun. You translate it those things. And the genitive case for the outcome of those things. So, and the outcome of those things is thanatos, death. And in our verse, it is refers to spiritual death in time, parlayed into second death in eternity. So the corrected translation of verse 21 says, therefore, what advantages and benefits were you enjoying at that time when you were an unbeliever, enslaved to the sin nature, because of which things you are now ashamed? And this question demands the answer, no advantages, no benefits. For the outcome of those things is death, spiritual death in time, parlayed into eternal death, the second death for all eternity. All right. We'll stop there and pick it up at that point next week. We'll take a break. When we come back, we have the Lord's table.